Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
God has reasons for suffering in your life, in my life, and we don't see it. But there's one thing that you'll discover at the foot of the cross, and that's all you need to know. The man on the cross, the God-man wrapped up in human flesh, really loves you and me in and through all of this, because this God-man didn't stay on the bank of the river of life. He jumped into the river of life with us, with us.
The truth is, the existence of evil actually proves the existence of God. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young concludes his message, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? And shares why you can trust in God's goodness and power in the face of evil and suffering. But before we get to today's message, we want to tell you about a powerful resource from Dr. Young called Unmasking Evil. This timely sermon series shines a light on the evil and suffering you see around you today and exposes the lies our culture believes that actually wreck people's lives. As you learn from God's Word where evil comes from and how it works, you'll be equipped to stand against evil in your own life and in our culture. We'll send you this 5-message series as our thanks for your gift to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and others all over the world through this program. So call today to request Unmasking Evil when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day, so we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People? Part 2.
Look at another theodicy there. This is the anthropic theodicy. That's a big word. It is this. This world was made by design. It's a defense of God. And therefore, where you have design, you have to have a designer. Where you have an effect, you have to have a cause. And therefore, this world was made by design, the anthropic principle, and therefore we see that God has designed this world for His purpose. He has exercised the power in creation for a purpose, and this world is uniquely designed for life, for human life. Human life. And therefore, we're the only planet that we know of that has those tectonic plates that move around. Earthquakes, tsunamis, weather, so many things involved there. We're the only one. So you not only have moral evil, you have natural evil that comes. And so this anthropic theodicy helps us understand that. To say it in a simple way, you take a violin. And a violin is made, you might say, you know, I don't like the shape of it. It may be too heavy, may be too small. The strings look a little awkward. But a violin is shaped by a designer. It's shaped in order to produce music. And therefore, it has a purpose for it. Beautiful music. By the way, it's my favorite instrument, incidentally. It produces beautiful music because it is designed that way. So God has designed this world for a purpose, for a sovereign purpose. And you and I are involved in that purpose. And somehow, He allows and evil and suffering to take place in this world because His ways are higher than our ways and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So that also is a defense of God, the anthropic principle. Now here's an unusual theodicy. We say evil and suffering, you know, that's how they accuse us as Christians. It can't exist if we have an omnipotent God and a God of love. Let me tell you something. Those who are atheists, They've got a bigger problem with evil and suffering than we do. In other words, evil and suffering proves that indeed there is a God. Boy, you know, how does that work? You're an atheist. Atheist says, oh, I'm telling you, there's no God because there's evil and suffering. You say, how do you know what evil is? How do you know what suffering is? An atheist looks at the natural world. What do you find in the natural world, ladies and gentlemen? Might makes right. Big animals eat little animals. Have you seen the Serengeti? Oh, boy. That's the natural world, isn't it? Big nations gobble up little nations. We're seeing that everywhere now. That's the natural world order. Selection. Natural selection. Power. That's the natural world. So an atheist, that's all they have to go on. It's the natural power in the natural world. And we say, look, you're crying out for justice as an atheist. An atheist has no reason to call for justice. Just natural justice is there unless you have the introduction of a supernatural sense of justice. The natural order his own atheist has, there has to be a supernatural addition to that for this to make any sense. So an atheist doesn't have a leg to stand on when they complain. And evil and suffering proves God much more than it disproves God. I want you to look at a statement about this. A very, very important statement. See it. If you have a God great enough to be mad at for not preventing evil and suffering, follow me, you have at the same time a God great enough to have a reason to allow evil and suffering you can't understand. If you got a God you get angry at, man, God, there's evil and suffering. You look at my life, I'm mad at you. And you say, I don't understand it. Well, if that God is big enough for you to get mad at, he's big enough to have reasons that you and I can't understand or can't grasp as to why we're going through these dark valleys or deep places or other people are. Alvin Plantinga, one of the great apologists, has a cute little story that I love. If you have a pup tent, they're small tents, ladies, pup tent. And you go and you look in the flap of a pup tent, you say, there's not a St. Bernard dog in there. That's right. You just can't hide a St. Bernard dog in a little tent. You can't do it. And he would say that. You say, that's accurate. Yep. No St. Bernard in there. Nobody can argue that. The same person goes to the pup tent and pulls the flap and says, there are no-see-ums in there. Know what a no-see-um is? Yeah. Some part of the country, they have them. I've got into a nest of them once. They're little bitty neets that come up, and you don't see them. Well, they bite you. I mean, they got a giant bite. How many know about no-see-ums? Oh, you've lived other part of the country. They have them. I don't think we have them around here. We may. Do we? Don't think so. Not bed bugs. No, no-see-um. You don't see these guys. And so if somebody goes to the pup tent and said, well, there's no see-ums in here. How does he know there's no see-um? You can't see them. So what I'm saying, God has reasons for suffering in your life, in my life, and we don't see it because his ways are higher than our ways. His agenda is far beyond our agenda. So we don't have a reason for everything. God does. We see this way that he proves himself. And then finally, there's another one that I want you to look at. That is a purifying theodicy. Sickness purifies us. Have you noticed that? Had my chest split open, 4 or 5 years ago, and they tinkered around and put a lot of things here, there, and yonder. Boy, that'll purify you. Sure will. It surely will. Or it should. So the problem is, suffering purifies. It cleanses. It helps us get our priorities right. When you're lying flat on your back, there's only one way you can look. Look up. It purifies. That's another theodicy for God. Now, you put all of these theodicies together, it still doesn't answer all of our questions, does it? Doesn't do it. And you can take any one of them. You say, well, free will is the best understanding of evil. It may be, but free will has a hole in it, as every one of these theodicies has a hole in it. Now, what's the free will hole? In other words, the idea that free will is, here it is. You have a four-year-old boy. You play in the yard, he's running towards the street. Car is going, shoo, 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 shoo. You run out there and grab him and get him before he goes to the streets and son. Oh, no, son. Now, when he grows up, gets to be about 15, he didn't come and say, Daddy, you remember that time you violated my free will and didn't let me run out in the street? I just haven't forgiven you for that. No, that doesn't happen. You say, well, here's our Heavenly Father that loves us more than a human father can love us. Why doesn't he sometime violate our free will to keep us from having a wreck and running out into the streets of life? You see, the free will argument defending God isn't totally adequate. In fact, you can stand at the foot of the cross and you can look up there and you can ask all these questions, why this God, why that God? I don't understand this, this suffering, this evil, this problem, this situation. And you can ask all those questions and you'll never get them all answered. But there's one thing that you'll discover at the foot of the cross, and that's all you need to know. That is that the man on the cross, the God-man wrapped up in human flesh, really loves you and me in and through all of this, because this God-man didn't stay on the bank of the river of life. He jumped into the river of life with us, with us. And that makes all the difference in the world. You say, where was God when I hurt? He's right there. He's right with you. He's right in the middle of our suffering and our sorrow and our sin. He's right there at every fiery trial that Peter was talking about with us. Peter didn't say, well, if you go through fiery trials, you'll be... No. He says, when you go through fiery trials, we'll all go through those trials. What's the difference? He is with us. I think he was probably thinking about Daniel chapter 3. Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Man, I love those three Jewish guys. Those three guys wouldn't bow down and worship Nebuchadnezzar, who built a big statue to himself. So Neb said, throw them in the fiery furnace. This kind of looks like a fiery furnace here. You guys are already there. He said, throw them in the fiery furnace. And so they heated up the fiery furnace so hot that the guys throwing in those three little Jewish boys, those two little young Jewish men, man, they died themselves. And Nebuchadnezzar went, by the way, archaeologists have found furnaces like this also in the Persian area, so this is a legitimate picture. And Nebuchadnezzar went and looked in and said, man, you know, those guys, they believe in their God may can save them, I don't believe it, but he looks in, he said, oh, there they are, one, two, three, oh, four. He said, how many did we throw in there? Three. What? There's one. Be still. Two, three, four in there. Who is that fourth one in the furnace with them? Oh. When they brought them out, they brought out only three. Who is that fourth one? The Bible said it was like unto the Son of God in the stream of life with us. That's the Old Testament, though, isn't it? Go to Isaiah 64. God says, I'll be with you when you go through the waters. You're in deep water, God is with you. He said, I'll be with you when you go through the fire. And when those three young Jewish boys came out of there, the Bible says they didn't even smell of smoke. They were not even singed. They were not even burned. And that's what Isaiah promised. He said, when you go through the fire, I will be there with you. When was this realized? In the New Testament, when Jesus got on that cross, the Garden of Gethsemane, he looked at that cup, so human. He said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. What did he see in that cup? Let me give you a word that sounds like what it means. He saw iniquity. Ooh, that's a greasy sounding word. Iniquity. He saw all the violence, sin, grossness, hypocrisy, phoniness, immorality, filth in the life of this whole world in that cup. No wonder he said, Lord, let this cup pass from me. But then when they nailed the cross, remember he was on the cross. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Isn't this something? God turned his back on his perfect son when he most needed him. What kind of God is that? It's because now that cup of iniquity was placed in and of Jesus Christ. It was on him, and God cannot look on sin. By the way, that's a lot what is going on in God's sovereign plan in the world for your life and my life, but that's another time. My God, why have you forsaken me? He's forsaken Jesus because he's taken all of our trash in and of himself. Where did Jesus go after he died? Well, there was Easter. Oh, no. There are those 3 days, and he went to hell, the Bible tells us. That's how much he loves you and loved me. He went to hell for us. That's where you and I need to go. By the way, I don't like the fact that God sends anybody to hell. God never sends anybody to hell. Hell is a result of that free will, that choice that we make. And we stand before the Almighty and we say, Lord, thy will be done in my life. We surrender to him. Or we stand and say, my will be done. Thy will or my will? Thy will or my will? We're free and we have the choice to make that. But he died for us. I love 1 Corinthians 15. I could preach on Luke 15 every day, every Sunday, forever, and never get through with those stories of lostness in Luke 15. Also, the other chapter is 1 Corinthians 15. Now, there is a chapter that tells us about the resurrected body in life, in heaven forever. Now, there's a chapter. He said, we leave this life, if we're in Christ, the mortal, that's us, puts on immortality. Sounds great. That which is fallible puts on infallibility. That is out of sight. And then he says, death is swallowed up in victory. Now, you can stay with that a long time, folks. Now, when we swallow something, we get bigger. Have you noticed that? And so, death is all that's dark and dank and horrible and all that. But in Christ, death is swallowed up in victory. It's taken in us. All the good, all the bad, all the gross, all the shameful, it's taken in us, and it, like food, digests in us and gives us strength. And so death is swallowed, consumed in victory. Boy, what a magnificent picture we have. That's the promise of God through all the highways and byways and ditches and mountaintops. Man, he's there with us. And on that cross, he swallowed up death and all that leads to death and gives us victory. And that's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I read a story along this line, and I've already preached this sermon a couple of times before I get here. It's gone out through television to two other campuses, so this has been heard four times, but I didn't finish like this, and I want to do it for you. I think it sort of finishes it off. Here is a child that's on the 10th floor of a building that's on fire. Child, 10 stories up, building on fire, no one with the child, smoke everywhere. The fireman is down at the bottom, and they have a net down there to catch a child. There's smoke everywhere. The fireman says, jump. And the little child says, I can't see you. See, he couldn't see through the smoke. And the fireman says, we can see you. We have a net down here. Jump. Have enough faith. Trust me. Jump. Now, let's put this together. The child is like you and me. Evil, suffering, we're on fire. The building we're in is on fire. The smoke is our ignorance. Right here, the fireman is holding the net and saying, jump. There's one missing thing. When I read this story, it says Jesus was the net. No, he wasn't. Jesus goes up with that child in that burning building and takes that child within himself, in his protective self, and then together they take that jump to safety. And that is salvation. So in the midst of evil and suffering in our world, the great gift that when we're in Christ, even death is swallowed up in victory, in victory.
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Well, it's great to have Dr. Young in the studio as we wrap up today's program. Dr. Young, you say that God is in complete control of the world, and yet we still have free choice. Now, that sounds like a contradiction to many. Is free will just an illusion?
No, free will is a gift of God. We're made in His image. And one aspect of being in His image is that we can choose. And therefore, we choose contrary to God's principles, contrary to the principle of nature, contrary to the principle of life, contrary to how God says, this is how my children live. No, free will is a part of our being created in the image of God. And the truth is, when we walk against that which He wants us to do, the good news is we can confess our sin and turn from our sin. We would not be human. We would not have this remarkable image of the Lord God Almighty in us, in our humanity, if we did not have the ability to choose. It's one of the aspects that God has imparted to us in the creative act. And therefore, this makes us free creatures. We're not programmed. And we can love God or reject God. We're not programmed. We can say, God, I want to follow you. Or we say, I'm going to go my own way. We're not programmed. And because we're not programmed, the Holy Spirit can convict us of sin. We can turn from sin and experience brand new life. This is what makes us distinctively human, different from other animals, the ability to choose. And as Christians, the Holy Spirit helps us and guides us to make those wise decisions and those wise choices.
Thank you, Dr. Young. You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. We hope today's message has encouraged you with the proven truth of God's Word, and we'd love to strengthen you further with a powerful series by Dr. Young. It's called Unmasking Evil, and he created it to help you face the evil in our culture in a uniquely Christian way by resting in the assurance of God's love for you and the ultimate defeat of evil through the cross. This 5-message series is our thanks for your gift of support to keep this program going strong. So call now to request Unmasking Evil when you give to reach more people with the proven truth of God's Word. Thank you. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. Thanks for listening today. Come back next week for the beginning of Dr. Young's message, Satan's Plan for Your Life. In the meantime, have a great weekend.
Winning Walk is a listener-supported ministry. Your prayers and financial support allow us to bring proven truth to listeners around the world. Connect with us at winningwalk.org. That's winningwalk.org. Give us a call at 1-800-350-350-WALK. That's 1-800-350-9255. 9255. 350. 350-9255.